It's another edition of Library Guys Go to the Movies. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us for the November Library Guys Go to the Movies podcast. This month, we have Shannon, who is a teen librarian at our Delaware main branch. She's here, and she's going to talk about some young adult titles that have been adapted into films, and she'll tell you where you can find those, give you a brief synopsis of them, and tell you which ones you might want to check out, and maybe which ones you can skip. So without further ado, I will let Shannon take over.
Okay. Hello. Yes, I am the teen librarian at the main library. And of course I read a lot of YA books. And then I also watch a lot of YA movies. So this year, especially since we've all been stuck at home, I made a point to watch all of the new ones that came out just in the last 6 months, really. They're all streaming. So they are ones that you have to have a subscription for, but I have a variety of platforms. So hopefully you can try out at least a couple. I don't think they're on DVD yet, but I imagine they will be. And like Luke said, they're all based on books. So the books are all available at the library if you are intrigued by the story and want to read the book instead of watching the movie. I actually, for these, how many are there? Seven? Yes, actually have not read the books for them. So I don't have book versus movie kind of battle in my mind. I am just thinking about the movie. So that's something, I guess, to keep in mind. Okay, so the first one is actually one of my favorites on this list. It's called The One and Only Ivan. So this is kind of more of middle grade than it is young adult, but I think that, you know, people of all ages, appreciate this one. So this is based on a book by Catherine Applegate. It's rated PG and it is starring Sam Rockwell and Bryan Cranston, among others. It's actually a really good cast. Those are the two leading characters. So Bryan Cranston plays the owner of this circus that exists within a mall. And then Sam Rockwell is the voice of the gorilla who is the star of the circus. So the little summary is, a gorilla named Ivan tries to piece together his past with the help of an elephant named Ruby as they hatch a plan to escape from captivity. So this one is, like I said, one of my favorites. It's very cute and it's actually based on a true story. So Ivan the gorilla was real. He passed away in 2012, but he lived inside a department store in Tacoma and he didn't go outside for nearly 30 years. So this is kind of based on him. You know, it's fictional. It's all, Ivan the gorilla talks and has other animals that he talks to. So it's obviously not the true story, but it is based on that. The story of Ivan, who is just an interesting story on his own. So he lived in this mall until 1994, when he was kind of rescued from the mall and then went to the zoo in Atlanta, where he lived the end of his life. So that one is definitely worth watching. The book itself is a Newbery winning book, which is the big award for children's books, and a sequel just came out. So definitely worth reading and worth watching, I would say.
That one, I had read the book in library school, and when I saw it on your list, I did go to my Disney Plus subscription, and yeah, I checked out the trailer, and I was really thinking about watching it, because I really did like the book, but I was a little bit weirded out by the CGI in the trailer.
The CGI animals, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to suspend the reality, of course, for this.
Right.
But it was a really good family film, if that's what people are looking for.
Excellent.
Okay, so the next one is also on Disney Plus. It is Artemis Fowl. So this is based on the Artemis Fowl series by do you know how to say his first name? Is it Ian Colfer?
That's how I say it, but I've never confirmed that that's the way the proper
spelled E-O-I-N Colfer. This one's also rated PG, starring Ferdia Shaw, Colin Farrell, and Josh Gad. Some of the big names. So Artemis Fowl, a young criminal prodigy, hunts down a secret society of fairies to find his missing father. So I enjoyed this one, but like I said, I haven't read the books and I have a lot of coworkers who have. I don't know, Luke, if you have, but the
people who have read very popular. Books are very popular.
Very popular series. People who have read the book are very fired up about it and they hate the movie. So I don't know. I guess if I found it enjoyable, I thought it was a good time. But if you care, if you, you know, care very strongly about a movie being true to its source material, then I don't think this is for you. What I've heard is that he's not enough of a villain. Funnily enough, I guess he's like, the book is definitely like him being like a villain in training, and the, you know, the book or the movie doesn't portray it that way, but worth watching if you don't care about that. The third one I have, also Disney Plus, I think this is my last Disney one, called Stargirl, based on Stargirl by Jerry Spinelli. Really a classic book. I have actually not read it, which is, I think, kind of surprising for some people, but it is, here's what it's about. A boy becomes intrigued by a mysterious and quirky student named Stargirl and spends his time trying to know more about her. I was not a huge fan, which I was kind of surprised since like the book is like so beloved by librarians everywhere. The note that I wrote down was, I think it might be appreciated more by parents who read the book as a kid rather than kids today. And I think it's very much, if you've heard of like the YA trope of like the manic pixie dream girl, who's like just kind of crazy and aloof, but so beautiful. And I just felt like that's what Stargirl was. And I am not interested in it. So I think you could skip that one unless maybe you read the book as a kid and you feel nostalgic. Okay, so now we're moving on to Netflix. We have Enola Holmes. So this is kind of a lesser known book series, but it is the Enola Holmes mystery series by Nancy Springer. This one was rated PG-13, so a little more, we're getting to the more mature ones. This one has a great cast. Millie Bobby Brown plays Enola. Henry Cavill is Sherlock Holmes. Henry Cavill, who is Man of Steel. Millie Bobby Brown, who is 11 in Stranger Things. Sam Claflin is Mycroft Holmes, who Sam is from the Hunger Games. He was Finnick, I think, if you're a Hunger Games fan. And then Helena Bonham Carter plays their mom. So really good cast. The summary says, when Enola Holmes, Sherlock's teen sister, discovers her mother missing, she sets off to find her, becoming a super sleuth in her own right as she outwits her famous brother and unravels a dangerous conspiracy around a mysterious young lord. This one was very good. I loved this one. Like I said, it's a great cast. It was really fun. I really liked seeing Millie Bobby Brown play like a happy character. You know, if you've seen Stranger Things, like she's so good as 11, but 11 is, I mean, she's getting happier, but you know, she starts out in a very dark place. So it was just really nice to see Millie play, you know, happy
kind of a fun, happy
character. Right.
That's one this is the one on your list that I had seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it too. Was that a movie? I cannot remember though if it was a film or if it was a serialized. It was a film. Okay.
Yeah, but it's a series of books, so I don't know. I feel like it would be hard for them to continue the movies just because of the cast being who they are. But I would love.
They're a very busy cast, and they get them like during this short period of time.
They might be too busy for this, but I would love to see a sequel. You know, I thought it was so fun. I actually helped a woman came into the library you know, an older woman who like is definitely not the target audience for the books, but she came into the library and was like, I watched this movie on Netflix and it was so good. And so I like got the books for her and I just thought that was so awesome. So yeah, it's definitely bringing in new readers of all ages.
That's cool.
Oh, and I loved, since you've watched it, I loved how she talked to the audience. Like she,
yeah, the breaking of the third and fourth wall. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like was, I just thought awesome. That was really fun and really like brings you into it and like, you know, talks about all the clues and what she's figuring out. So
right.
Definitely watch Enola Holmes if you have not already.
I give that one a thumbs up as well.
Yes. Okay, so my next one is on HBO Max. So this one might be a little bit harder to get a hold of. I think HBO is a little more elusive than Disney or Netflix, but it's called Unpregnant. It's based on the book Unpregnant by Jenny Hendricks, rated PG-13. The cast is really like big names in like YA movies, but not necessarily outside of that yet. So there's two main girls, Kaylee Lou Richardson. She starred in the movie 5 Feet Apart that came out last year or the year before. And then the other girl is Barbie Ferreira, and she is from the show Euphoria on HBO. So here's the synopsis. A 17-year-old Missouri teen named Veronica discovers she has gotten pregnant, a development that threatens to end her dreams of matriculating at an Ivy League college and the career that will follow. So obviously a mature theme of, you know, a young girl finding herself in this situation and, you know, what she's going to do about it. She wants to get an abortion, but in Missouri, it's not legal for her to do so without like her parents. So there's, you know, a lot of that kind of drama, but the core of the story is really a road trip. So less about that and more about she's in Missouri. I think she has to go to New Mexico. She makes an appointment at a clinic in New Mexico and then gets one of her friends to go with her. And they just have like an insane road trip. there's so many weird things that happen. So it's one of those like realistic fiction that it's actually not realistic. You know, these two teenage girls set out on a road trip and there's insane things that happen, but somehow they get there safely. So this one is fun. I think it's definitely, just because of the content, I think it's definitely, you know, for the older audiences and definitely something, you know, if teens want to watch it, I think like maybe they should watch it with parents or like, you know, discuss it with them first. But like I said, it's on HBO, so not super accessible, but it is a good watch, especially if you like those road trip movies. And the actresses are both very good. They're just, you know, getting their start in YA stuff. So, okay, the next one. This is All the Bright Places. It's on Netflix. Based on the book All the Bright Places by Jennifer Niven. Niven, N-I-V-E-N. This one is rated at TV MA, so a little more mature. It stars Elle Fanning, who is, of course, sister of Dakota Fanning, and Justice Smith, who he's had a lot of big movies recently. He was in Detective Pikachu and Jurassic World and then some other YA movies where he's been like a side character. So this one is the story of Violet and Theodore who meet and change each other's lives forever. As they struggle with the emotional and physical scars of their past, they discover that even the smallest places and moments can mean something. This one is sad. I would definitely say don't watch this unless you like sad things. It's, you know, you're not going to really feel great at the end. I would compare it to like the people who really like The Fault in Our Stars. It's not my favorite, but you know, that teen drama, there's a lot of grief and mental health. So it's not that it's a bad story or a bad movie, but it's just definitely something that you have to be prepared for, I guess, in the mood for,
perhaps.
Yeah, it deals with, you know, things like suicide and depression, and like I said, grief. So it's heavy. So maybe watch it if you like sad movies. My last one, it's called Chemical Hearts. This one's on Amazon Prime. It's based on Our Chemical Hearts by Crystal Sutherland, and this one's rated R. It stars Lily Reinhart, who is in Riverdale, and Austin Abrams, who is another like rising star in YA. So he's in Euphoria on HBO. He is in that new show Dash and Lily that just came out on Netflix, which is also based on a YA book. And he's been like side characters in movies like Paper Towns, you know, a couple others. So Austin Abrams is a name that the YA community probably knows, but the synopsis does not tell you very much. It says a high school transfer student finds a new passion when she begins to work on the school's newspaper. And that is true, but there's so much more to it. So this is very much YA romance that, you know, their characters, Lily and Austin's characters meet. I think their names are Henry and I can't remember her name. They meet, they're like co-editors of the school newspaper. And of course, you know, kind of fall in love, but there's a lot of angst. The girl is a transfer student, transferred from her school because she was in a car accident that injured her and has left her walking with a cane. And then it also killed her boyfriend. So again, kind of emotional. So it's, yeah, they meet working on this newspaper, but that it's a lot more about dealing with her grief, both for her boyfriend and for herself, because she used to be like a track star. And now she has like this, you know, this leg injury that she walks with a limp. So I really like this one. I will say that I did, compared to all the Bright Places, they both kind of fall in the same genre of like that angsty, sad YA story, but I like Chemical Hearts more than all the Bright Places, I would say. I think there's a little more hope in this one, a little more like processing and hope for the future, I guess, moving forward in the right direction. So yeah, I would definitely, I mean, again, I think you have to be in the mood. You have to kind of like these kinds of stories, but I would choose Chemical Hearts over all the Bright Places if you had to choose. So that is all that I have on my list. I think, Luke, you have a list that will be published somewhere, or?
Yeah, I will include a PDF in the description, which will have also images to go along with each of the films so that you can easily find them in whatever streaming mm-hmm. service or format you can access them. The library might not be able to help you as well, but you can refer to that document that will have all the titles on it.
These are, like I said, they're not on DVD yet, I don't think, but they're all books you can get from the library, so we can help however you need.
Absolutely. Just of those titles, did you have a favorite overall?
I think Enola Holmes is probably my favorite. I would watch that one again.
Ooh, okay.
For sure.
Okay. How about separate from the YA stuff, what have you just been watching most recently?
Well, honestly, most of the time I watch TV rather than movies. Been watching season 4 of The Crown. I don't know if you're into that at all, Luke.
No, but this I've heard season, of it, though.
This season introduces Princess Diana, and it's very good. Very, very good. So I've been watching The Crown, and if I want something a little more lighthearted, I watch Schitt's Creek. Yeah.
I've seen a little bit of that one. That's a little bit more mature audience.
yes, for legal, sure.
But mm-hmm. And The Crown, I just saw an article, really just the headline, that like people are upset with that because they did just introduce Diana and they're going away from anything that really occurred. They're adding fantasy in, and a lot of people are
yeah, I mean, it's definitely
just be
fictionalized, non-fiction. I think.
Right.
Yeah, people just, it's based on the true events, and I think a lot of it is true, but there's also stuff that just has to be made up because they're one-on-one moments that no one else was there for. So it's like, you know, sometimes it they have to embellish a little bit, because we don't know what the Queen and Diana talked about when they were by themselves, you know?
Right.
But it is very good TV, and I think it is very eye-opening. I guess I can't say how accurate it is. I'm not a historian, so I don't know. But it is very interesting to see, you know, what the private lives versus the public that we are all aware of, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I did want to say, just because we're talking about books adapted into films, like, yeah. I have always approached that, which I think is like kind of an unpopular way to approach it, but as if I see the movie, I approach that as a movie, and I just kind of try to like see that as its own thing and not compare it to the book. But I know that's hard for a lot of people, because I know I've seen things that I've seen them in movies and then went back and read the book, and then I read the book first and then seen the movies, and I've liked them both ways, for different reasons, and some of them go way far away, and some of them stay very close to the story.
Yeah,
that's in the book, and I've always just found that interesting. Like certain things, like I really love, like The Shining, for instance. I really think the film version is a masterpiece, all as it is. Mm-hmm. But I've also read the book, and it also is very, very good. But they're different. And so I take them one at a time, you know, as their own thing. But I know a lot of people like to, they read the book and then they see the movie.
I think what makes it hard is when a book is, especially for young people, like it can just like mean so much to them. You know, that's how I was like with Harry Potter growing up. Like I still am like pretty obsessed with it. You know, I just loved it so much. So then it was like seeing it in a way that wasn't what I wanted was very hard.
Right, right.
Or just, you know, there were things that I loved from the books that were left out of the movies. And so that was, that I understand people who get upset about it. But then there's others that, you know, a book that maybe I didn't feel as emotional or about or connected to, and so like I don't care that much about like what right. the movie is. I don't know, but I agree with you that sometimes like I like them both as their own, like the book and the movie, or like sometimes even the movie or TV show is better, like Game of Thrones. I watched the show and then went back and read the books, and I was like, okay, the show's actually better. I stopped reading the books. So it just, yeah, it just depends. I don't know.
I've heard that about Game of Thrones, by the way. And I think it's funny because one of the showrunners, I think his name is David Benioff, and he's written a few books, and he has one book. And it's escaping me right now, but I'll put it in the description. But that is, it's really, really good. So I'm not kind of surprised that he was involved in that show, because it has kind of that type of storytelling in it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They did a really good job with the show. I mean, I know people hated the ending, but I mean, I think the show itself, though, was just, you know, very well done and less confusing than the books.
Less confusing.
Those books are huge.
Yeah, that's a big challenge, I would say, each and every one of them, with lots of detail.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Shannon. It's been great having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Next month, we will have George Morrison, also from the main branch. He's a children's librarian there. And we will be talking about movie toys, or toys, essentially toys that you got during the holidays that were from a movie or television show that you really liked. So it should be a nice little nostalgic trip.
That sounds interesting.
Hopefully for both us and for listeners.
Yeah.
That's coming up. Again, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate having you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Join us next time for Library Guys Go to the Movies. For more information on any of the films or digital services we've discussed, please visit DelawareLibrary.org.